Keep in mind, the first act of man when they fell in Genesis 3 was to hide from his presence. And we have not stopped since. Where are you? Notice that he asked where they were. He's seeking his people. He's seeking the fellowship with them. And he's offered us a solution for eating that fruit. So why don't we take it? Why are we sitting here floundering with nowhere to go? How many more times do you want to go around this mountain? They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. You know what I would give to hear the Father, just hear him walking. Not where are you, Cole? Just to hear him shuffle his feet as he goes by. It's funny because my four-year-old daughter, we've been going back to some of the old hymns in our worship in our house. My four-year-old daughter's favorite hymn is In the Garden. And he walks with me. My son just got his. Come, thou fount of every blessing. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I still remember singing those songs in Sunday school when I was at the pinnacle of innocence and how pure it felt. What happens? Exodus 20, 18 through 20. All the people perceived the thunder and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. Then they said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen. How many of you read that and laugh now?
Yeah.
Don't try to negotiate your surrender. But let not God speak to us or we will die. Now keep in mind, he's already spoken and they're standing there living. Because when he spoke, some things were exposed. When he showed up, some things within them were exposed. Keep in mind, this is a highly abused people who still have fresh whip marks on their back for all we know. Okay? But they don't want to get closer to the one who set them free. Only human beings could be that dumb. Right. Father, forgive me of my stupidity. Moses said, do not be afraid, for Elohim has come in order to test you. And in order that the fear of him may remain with you so that you may not sin. What they kept holding on to, despite his presence, was their ignorance is bliss mentality regarding their sin and what they were doing. 20 days after this, up goes the golden calf. 20 days. I can tell you this right now, doing deliverance and confronting demons, not one of them moves until he shows up. Because it ain't me that's casting them out. It's his presence with me. And I dare not step into the adversary's presence without his presence. If I'm having a rough day with the Father, we're postponing your deliverance, or you may go find somebody else. And I highly recommend. Let me tell you something. The first thing that happens when his presence shows up, demons flee. And unfortunately, sometimes they take people with them. Because I'd rather listen to the familiar voice, the one that I believed is true for my whole life. Second thing that happens, got some examples. Psalm 68, verse 2. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of Elohim. Psalm 9, 3. The enemy shall fall and perish at thy presence. Second thing that happens, man finds out how small he is. You find out exactly where your limits are, and you find out that you don't take up that much cubic space. You find out there's some things you don't know. Let me tell you what happens. What that is the realization of humility. Hebrews, the reason we're arrogant and puffed up is because we've learned about his presence and never spent any time with it, or in it, or asking for it. His presence is the only true deliverance for anybody. Not only from the serpents, but from the lies we tell ourselves and from our own satisfaction in ourselves. His presence shatters the idols of our ignorance, of our arrogance rather, and our ignorance. I like that word better. Many of us would rather hide or have an intercessor for us than truly enter into his presence. I love the Torah, the scriptures, but they are instructions in how to enter his presence, not something to hide behind and feed your pride with knowledge.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 8:1. Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. You are going to find out in his presence that you know nothing. Why isn't the world flocking to his presence? Jesus. We cannot sit here and point fingers at the world when we sit here and live a life that is without power and without him. Not knowledge of him, but him. With all due respect, if we are walking around without his presence, we're no different than the world. The next thing that happens is your sin comes to the surface. The light gets shined on you and you find out you've got some stains on your garment. You have some wounds that need to be healed. You have some blood on your hands. His holiness reminds us of our unholiness. It is shown upon in order to bring about repentance and to be forgiven of. So we always leave that out. The adversary and the Holy Spirit will both point to the same sin with totally different spirits. The adversary will point to and say, because of that, you cannot enter in and you are not worth saving. The Holy Spirit looks at you and says, when we can deal with this, you can come in. By the way, I have the means to do so. One offers brokenness of will. The other one offers brokenness of spirit. Big difference between the two. What really scares us about the Father is actually his grace. I can't believe after all I've done, you still want me. So we put our view of ourselves ahead of his view of us. We look at ourselves and go, I am too broken to come into your presence. And the Father says, I can fix all of that. What excuse do we have? Psalm 5:5, for you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. Evil cannot remain with you. Malachi 3:23, but who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a smelter and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver so that they may present to the Lord offerings in righteousness. See, we stop at, I'm dirty, and don't ask to be clean when it's freely given. Interesting character study. Man named Isaiah, prophet of Israel, the top dog, comes into the Father's presence, and what's the first thing he says? Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, from a people of unclean lips. Did you notice the story doesn't stop there? What happens? A fiery angel comes down and takes a coal off the altar and offers him and freely gives to him purity to speak. And it is with this newfound boldness, Hineni, I am here, Lord, send me. Why do you not know your purpose? Because you're too busy looking at your own wretchedness or someone else's wretchedness. Instead of going, Father, I am unclean. Can you please clean me? Men who we would all hail as holy have their own sin exposed, and they are broken before him. Daniel received a word so powerful that it nearly killed him. Daniel 10, 8 through 9. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, yet no strength was left in me, but for my natural color turned to a deathly pallor, and I retained no strength. But I heard the sound of his words, and as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Do you know that the scriptures actually tell us that one day we are going to want the scary Old Testament God back? It's in Isaiah 63, 10 through 14. He had lifted them up and carried them throughout the days of old. However, they rebelled and they grieved his Holy Spirit. So he became their enemy and himself fought against them. But then his people remembered the days of old, the days of Moshe. Where is he who brought them up from the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he who put his Holy Spirit right there among them? Who caused his glorious arm to go at Moshe's right hand? He divided the water ahead of them to make himself an eternal name. He led them through the deep like a sure-footed horse through the desert, like cattle going into the valley. The Spirit of Adonai had them rest. This is how you led your people to make yourself a glorious name. I don't know about you. The worse it gets outside, the more I want the fiery, angry Elohim of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy to be leading me through this. But we cannot sit here and continue to be his enemies. We cannot sit here in passive rebellion any longer, saying, when he shows up, I'll move. You show up. When he shows up, it'll be too late. We cannot sit here and continue to bury our talents out of fear of his nature. You realize it takes courage to follow this being. It takes courage to even pray to him. It takes courage to ask him to show up. Dear Lord, what would that be like? Have we asked? Have we asked? Because I'll tell you this. People come to me and they say, Cole, I want deliverance. You don't need deliverance. You need him. Don't come to me saying you have a demon. Come to me saying I have a glorious lack of Yahweh Elohim. Because the space that I put between me and him, this is where demons live. It says in Psalm 91 that he holds his people in the pinions of his wings, not the uttermost feathers, the place closest to his heart. I don't know about you. I'm tired of being out here on the fringe. What is in his presence? Yes, there is horrifying and overwhelming power. Yes, it will be scary. Yes, it will show us that we are so small. It will come directly and crash against our arrogance and our puffed upness of ourselves. It will come against all of that. And thank you, Father, that it does. In order to enter into his presence, Deuteronomy 16:16-17. Three times a year, all your men are to appear in the presence of Yahweh, your Elohim, in the place which he will choose. At the festival of Matzah, at the festival of Shavuot, and at the festival of Sukkot, they are not to show up before Yahweh empty-handed. But Cole, we don't have an altar. You're right. But we still need to bring a sacrifice. And David says in Psalm 51, the sacrifice pleasing to Elohim is a broken spirit. Your will broken. O Elohim, you do not despise a broken and sorrowful heart. Why are we not progressing as people? Because there is not enough suffering for his purpose. There is not enough brokenness of our will. There is not enough sacrifices being made of broken spirits and broken hearts. Because what that requires is vulnerability to him. We can say all day long in our heads that we want that. Yet the adversary whispers in our ears, but you'll be rejected because of this. Our pain from our past whispers in our ear and says, you'll be rejected because of what happened to you. You know, we'll be rejected because of what you did. Well, there's a solution to all of it called the blood of Messiah. He who continues purifying himself. 1 John 3. You better understand, this is a process. Just when you think you've arrived, you realize you've just begun.
Don't come and ask for an issue with demons. Because demons are a symptom, not the problem. And it's a symptom of your lack of prayer, your lack of seeking him, your lack of repentance, and your lack of brokenness. Period. You want to get rid of demons, fall at his feet.
When you see that verse that says, when a demon leaves a man and goes out into the wilderness seeking rest, everybody looks at the demon. Yet, it is not the demon in that story that's the most tragic part. It is the empty house when he comes back. When you get delivered and when the adversary comes back, you want the Holy Spirit answering the door. We look at the demon snatching up the seed on the trail. The problem is not the demon snatching up the seed. It is the hard and rocky soil the seed of the Word of God fell on, which is a symbol of our hearts. It is your hard-heartedness that is allowing the adversary to prosper. Demons are not the problem. Our lack of dwelling in His presence is the problem. Psalm 34, it says this, Psalm 34:17-19. Righteous people cry out. Yahweh hears and rescues them from all their troubles. Yahweh is near to those whose hearts are humble. Other versions say whose hearts are broken. How many of you have ever been broken before in your heart, had a broken heart? The Father was never more close to you in that moment
than the rest of your life. Because that is the opportunity to do the most healing. If we would but submit.
We are a Hebrew people who are wandering in the wilderness without the presence of the Father. You want to know how? You want to know why? Just look at our fruit. Or lack thereof. Folks, we can't continue playing around like this. Repentance and forgiveness. Of course, Yeshua is the ultimate form of his presence. The tabernacle had three pieces of finely crafted vessels within. One was the Ark of the Covenant, then the menorah, and then the other piece called the Table of Presence. Or Table of the Bread of Presence. Exodus 25, verse 30. You shall eat the bread of presence on the table before me at all times. What's fascinating about the furniture in the tabernacle is this. That the ark and the table of showbread were made of the same thing. Acacia wood overlaid with gold. Both of them had crowns. Yet the menorah had no natural element within it. It was solid hammered gold. So I don't know how else to explain the nature of Yahweh Elohim other than the bread of presence and the Ark of the Covenant. The Father, the Son are made of the same stuff. Yet there is no earthly element, so to speak, to the menorah. And by the way, only one could go in to the Ark of the Covenant, but the other priests could interact with the menorah and the table of showbread, just like we can interact with Yeshua and the Holy Spirit. That's how I understand the nature of Yahweh. The pattern matters. The bread represented something so basic to human life and so practical, yet something only he can provide. Only he provides life to us. Only he allows us to take a breath in every moment of every day. What you will find when you get past the horror, when you get past the place of brokenness, when you get past the healing power of that coal that he touches your mouth with, what you find is what Abraham found. A friend.
He was the friend of Elohim.
How many of you would like to be friends with the Most High? You have to experience.
The little guy in the back just raised his hand. It's that simple. How many of you would like to be friends with him? To be at peace with him? All this deliverance, all this stuff that we're getting rid of in our life, what are we trying to accomplish? We are accomplishing nothing except peace between ourselves, our spirits, between us and our Father, between us and our neighbor. Shalom is the goal. Wholeness is the goal. Cleanliness is the goal. Period.
James 2:23. And the passage of the Tanakh, which was fulfilled, which says, Abraham had faith in God and was credited to his account as righteousness. He was even called God's friend because he believed. He didn't know, he believed. Exodus 33, verse 11. Thus Yahweh used to speak to Moshe face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. What's in his presence? After you go through all the purification that his presence brings, if you continue to press in, you find someone that loves you and you love them. And it says, Joshua the son of Nun never left the tent of meeting. That's a pretty dang good thing to be addicted to.
presence of the Most High.
Yeshua, our Lord and our God, as Timothy confessed. Our Savior. We call to you to come closer to us and purify us. We have to get our passion back. Our drive to chase after him. Tomorrow we're going to get rid of the junk. Tomorrow we enter into the valley of decision. But tonight, let us simply take some time in the Father's presence so that we're reminded why we do all of this. Do you want it? Do you want it? Heavenly Father, we thank you for delivering your people out of the nations. We thank you for all the great works that you have done in our lives. Father, many of us have come here with the lies of our past, the words spoken to us in abuse, unspeakable things done to us as your children. Father, and for many of us, those words echo in our ears daily and continue to rob us of the joy of walking after you. Many of us still beat ourselves up for our sin, our sins of the past. So much of our worldliness, so much of our pain rings in our ears daily so that we can't hear you. Father, you're our King. You shouldn't have to shout to get our attention. Father in heaven, we come to you now as your people. And we ask that you accept our offering of brokenness. Of our apathy. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to come forward and kneel before him, please feel free to do so. Lay prostrate before him. Father in heaven, we ask that you would break through those walls of the strongholds that we have formed to keep you out. That we've chosen a road that you never intended us to walk down. You continue to call to us and we don't listen. We sit back in our suspicious natures and question everything, including your goodness. When you have called those who are called by your name to taste and see goodness, forgive us, Father, that we have questioned your nature. Forgive us that we have kept ourselves from experiencing your presence too long. Father, we come against the hard-hearted apathy. Forgive our cynicism, where we believe love and beauty cannot be trusted or are not for us. We are a people that should be on our faces 24/7. Forgive us that we've attacked our neighbor. Forgive us that we've hardened our heart from our brother. May we be forgiven and may we forgive them. Many of us, our parents have lacked. For many of us, our fathers were not what we wanted them to be. For many of us, they weren't what we needed. Father in heaven, we just know the reason that there are no perfect fathers is because there's only one. And you are him.
presence within them, pour out
the bitter waters, the
anger, the unforgiveness right now. Father, forgive us for being unforgiving. Deflate our egos. We ask thou that you join us, Father, and accept this offering of brokenness. May those that are truly seeking you, may those that are truly seeking you find you here tonight. May we finally surrender to you. May we finally be the people that you've called us to be. Forgive our hiding from you like Adam and Eve did in the garden. Forgive us for giving ear to the enemy. Forgive us for hands that have sought to do murder and speaking ill of those we are called to love. We are a backslidden people. We are a people who truly need you, Father. We need you. We need your presence. We cannot go another day without you. We cannot take another step. We cannot take another breath without you. Please don't stand outside the door. We invite you in. We want our bridegroom. We want our loving Father. We want to be that child, clean and pure, that crawls up into the Father's lap and feels safe, loved, and cared for. We want to rest our head on your chest. Feel the warmth. Feel the safety of your arms. Let us not listen to our pain anymore. We lay down our pain, Father. We lay down our impurity. We lay down all that keeps you from us. Father, we ask. We repent as your people. We ask that we can walk with you down the road to the kingdom on straight paths, on level ground. We thank you for your blood, our Messiah. We thank you for the new covenant, which was born in suffering. Every drop of your blood was taken from your body. Most of all, Yeshua, we thank you for the resurrection, that you did not let death conquer you, that you did not let death have the victory that day, that you did not let death pass to your people, that you overcame. And we ask to overcome death here tonight. The spiritual death some of us are walking in. Father, I ask for your ministering angels to come down and tend to the broken hearts. May we feel their manifest presence here, Father, and know that you sent them and that you've heard our prayer. As you said in Psalm 91, that you will send angels to guard over us, Father. We ask for that again. Can you please dispatch your vanguard to tend to the broken hearts of your people? Pierce the hard-hearted. Smash the strongholds. Simply, Father, we don't know what we need. Just conquer us. Take us by force if you have to. We ask for it. Wash my hands and the abuse that they've committed on myself and others. As such, you cleanse our mouths for the words of death that were spoken, for the curses that were uttered against our neighbor, against ourselves, or against you. I pray, Father, that you pull all those curses out of us and cast them into the abyss. And in their place, we ask for that shalom, that we are so unworthy to even lift our head and beg. But may the brokenness of this people be accepted as a sacrifice.
Father, please forgive all those who've trespassed against us. Please have mercy upon them, Father. They don't know what you're doing, Father. Please forgive us.
Father in heaven, we lift our eyes up to you. Eyes with tears. Eyes with brokenness. Desires through the temples of this world. We've sought legitimacy by human means. We ask that you would forgive our wandering eyes. You would forgive our wandering hearts. Let our feet not seek destruction any further. Let us just, Father, let us just be broken before you. Lord Yeshua, we forgive, or we ask that you forgive us for forgetting you. For not walking in your grace every day, walking covered in your blood every day, when you have given us all things. We have no excuse to be defeated. You have given us the Holy Spirit. You have given us the blood of Messiah. And Father, you look down upon us and seek our well-being and not our destruction. Yet we choose our own destruction. Father in heaven, we ask that you would turn our hearts back to you as we offer them back to you. Lord Yeshua, your word says that the heart is desperately wicked. Yet it was there that you chose to write the new covenant. Father, some of us need those words etched a little deeper. Some of us need to be reminded in whose name those were written, how they were written, and what it means to be a people that serves you in your presence. Ask him to deliver you from whatever may be attempting to conquer you. Know that in his presence is an all-consuming fire that will cleanse his people. Father, we ask that you come and dwell with your people here. Take a moment. Some of you have brought things here that you've been carrying around for decades. Some of you have brought things here that you've been carrying around your whole life. Curses and painfulness and wounds. I pray that tonight you don't take them out the door with you. Let's take a moment and pray. Have that conversation with the Father that you've needed to have for so long. Do it here tonight. Surrounded by the love of your brothers and sisters. Pray that your angels come down and defend your people. I pray that you would look down upon your loving ones and be with us in this time of brokenness. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy on all of us. We ask that we walk out of here in newness of life. And may we come back tomorrow, having had a taste of your word, having had a taste of your presence, but ready for you to take away from us, to sift from us everything that is not of you tomorrow. As we go into the world, may we come out smelling of your presence, come out reeking of your word, come out reeking of your, just like the priests would come out of the tabernacle and reek of the incense. May the people smell life on us. We thank you, Father, for all that you've done here, all that you've saved us from, all that you've delivered us from, all that you've kept us from, all the times that you saved us and we didn't even know from our own destruction. We thank you. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We now ask that your people rest, a new rest on your Shabbat. May we truly know what it means to rest. And Father, may we be courageous enough to be dangerous in our faith, to be dangerous in our walk. Not dangerous to your people, but dangerous to the enemy. Blessings of what you've done here. It's not about demons, Father, it's about you. It's not about our pain, it's about you. It's not about what we know, it's about you. Forgive us for making this something that it was never meant to be. And may we point our compasses back to your kingdom. May we point our eyes to your mountain. And may we be bathed in the blood of your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. And amen. Blessings. This is a start. How many of you felt him show up? Did he come when he called? Now imagine what he'll make you tomorrow evening. If you thought this was tough, because we have to look at ourselves, folks. We have to know how this machine works spiritually. The valley of decision awaits us. Decision of whether we are going to allow him to take from us what is not of him, all the lies, all the backsliding, all the unrepentance and unforgiveness. Can he take all that from us? Tomorrow evening we're going to learn that we've entered into a covenant of suffering, a suffering for his sake, which is glory and honor and praise to him. Many of you came here in pain tonight. Maybe you didn't even know it. And his presence showed up and showed you that you had some pain.
Imagine what it's going to be like tomorrow when he really hits you hard. I've seen some bloody miraculous things. I invite you to come back and understand if you can't. Most of all, I pray this reinvigorated you to chase after him, to walk after that pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire with renewed vigor and renewed zeal, but to walk with kindness, to seek justice, and to walk humbly with your Elohim. Thank you all so much for coming this evening. I pray that is a blessing to you. Shalom.
You don't have to run out the door just yet. Couple quick things. You know, Cole agreed to come here and leave his family, four children, his wife, in Kansas City to be a blessing to us.